Good morning. The book of Genesis describes Adam's body as created in the image of God. The message in this phrase is both literal and symbolic. It means that people are energy duplicates of a divine power, a system of primary energies whose truths we are meant to explore and develop through this experience called life. Our spiritual task in this lifetime is to learn to balance the energies of body and soul, of thought and action, of physical and mental power. Energy is power, and our bodies require energy. Therefore, our bodies require power. The chakras, the sephiro, the sacraments, and the 12 powers all speak of interacting with power and of taking control of our own power in gradually more intense processes. What drains your spirit drains your body. What fuels your spirit fuels your body. The power that fuels our bodies, our minds, and our hearts has roots in divinity itself. This month, we're learning how to develop our power of faith, not just as a religious act, but also as a basis for all we are demonstrating and attracting in life. So ask, and it shall happen. Jesus has said, "Ask, and it will be given to you." He said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." He said, "Let it be done for you according to your faith." It is clear that Jesus was conscious of, taught, and demonstrated for us a law of faith, a perception ability. As I think, so I become and attract in my life experience. But to do this, we have to live in the present moment, because we're essentially spiritual creatures. Our spiritual needs are as crucial to our well-being as our physical needs, maybe even more so. When we know that we are more than our physical bodies, we have tapped into a truth that can comfort us during the many closures of life that are part of the human experience. It is unnatural to our divine design to let our thoughts live for too long in the past. Such an imbalance creates time warps that interfere with our ability to live in the present and receive spiritual guidance each day. That guidance will make no sense to us if we focus only on unraveling the mysteries of yesterday. If we live fully in the present moment, the mysteries of yesterday will gradually be unraveled for us. So what do I actually have faith in? That is, what do I think about the most, focus my attention on, spend most of my money and time on? What do I expect, talk about, wish for, want to see happen, center my life around, set myself up for? Now that's where my faith is. There are various points in life where we need to call back our spirit to finish our unfinished business, let it go, and don't give it any more energy. We need to have the ability to release our past experiences in order not to carry the dead with us. This is the true meaning of Matthew 8, verses 21 to 22, where it says, "Another of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, first let me go and bury my father.' But Jesus said to him, 'Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead.'" Next time you find yourself dredging up the past, just imagine carrying around a dead person who's decomposing. We need to bring all things to closure. After any painful and dramatic experience, we always receive internal guidance that can help us release the past and move on with our lives. When we choose to keep the past more alive than the present, we interfere with the flow of the life force. We distort the present because we begin to view everything happening today through the past, thereby weakening our bodies and spirits. We become diseased from carrying the dead with us for too long. Through our power of faith, we're connected to the world of the infinite. So use your faith power. Jesus gives positive instructions on the use of our faith power, or the perceiving power of our mind, as recorded in Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. ASK is an acronym, A-S-K, ask, search, knock. Ask and it will be given you, search and you will find, knock and the door will be open for you. For everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who searches, finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, we'll give a stone, or if the child asks for a fish, we'll give a snake. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? How do we ask? By our thoughts, feelings, reactions, and behavior patterns. And we receive according to what we're asking for. Have you ever had someone say to you, well, you asked for it and you got it? If I'm going 50 miles per hour in a 25 mile per hour zone, am I asking to get a ticket? We ask by how we think and act, not by asking God for this and that and the other thing. God expresses according to the principle of mind action. Remember that God is not a person to whom we send appeals. God is love. God is life. God is power. Fillmore said that the faith faculty is the basis for all the other faculties. It's interesting that it's located at the same place in the body as the seventh chakra. The crown chakra is our connection to our spiritual nature and our capacity to allow our spirituality to become an integral part of our physical lives and guide us. The seventh chakra is directly aligned to seek an intimate relationship with the divine. It is the chakra of power and prayer. It is also our grace bank account and the warehouse for the energy we amass through kind thoughts and actions and through acts of faith and prayer. This chakra represents our connection to the transcendent dimensions of life. The seventh chakra is the entry point for the human life force, which pours endlessly into the human energy system from the greater universe, from God or the Tao. This force nourishes the body, the mind, and the spirit. It distributes itself throughout the physical body and the lower six chakras, connecting the entire physical body to the seventh chakra. This is why faith is so important. It's a connection between our spiritual, intellectual, emotional, and physical bodies, as well as being the connection to all of our other powers. Our faith is our connection to a relationship with the divine through prayer. Through faith, we open ourselves to the life force which keeps our body healthy. The seventh chakra contains the energy that generates devotion, inspirational and prophetic thoughts, transcendent ideas, and mystical connections. It contains the purest form of the energy of grace or prana. This chakra warehouses the energy generated by prayer and meditation. It is the energy center for the spiritual insight, vision, and intuition far beyond ordinary human consciousness. It is the mystical realm, a dimension of conscious rapport with the divine. The Sephiroth connected to the seventh chakra is Keter, which represents nothingness. This is the energy from which physical manifestation begins. It is thought to be eternal with no beginning or end. The Christian sacrament related to the seventh chakra is extreme unction or last rites, the sacrament administered to the dying. Symbolically, this represents the process of retrieving one's spirit from the various corners of one's life that still hold unfinished business, or releasing regrets that continue to pull at one's consciousness, such as words that should not have been spoken but were, or things that were spoken but shouldn't have been, unfinished businesses that would include relationships we wish we had ended differently, or paths we wish we had taken but did not. At the closure of our lives, we consciously draw these memories to a final point, accepting the choices we made at the time and releasing the feeling that things could have or should have been otherwise. This is what it means to call one's spirit back in order to leave this world and return to the spiritual dimension complete. From a different symbolic perspective, this ritual should be a regular part of human life. At many points during our lives, we face a crossroads where we need to let a previous phase of life die. The less we hold on to the physical world, the more we position ourselves to access consciously the energy of Keter, or the crown chakra, or transcendent link to the divine. In W. Hossmann's book called Your God-Given Potential, he writes about the seven steps to demonstration of good through positive faith. Number one is receptivity. We listen, open our mind, look within, learn, grow in understanding of spiritual truths, and are receptive to God ideas. Peter, who represents faith, was first called Simon, which means hearing. Peter was receptive to truth. He left a successful fishing business and followed Jesus. Second is assent. Going beyond being interested and receptive, we give assent. Assent says, I'll think about it, or I'll see about using this in my life. Peter invited Jesus to stay at his house, and people came there to be healed. So Peter not only recognized the truth, but he brought it home with him into his life. Number three is belief. Belief is a mental acknowledgement of God, which is good possibilities, which comes as an outgrowth of the first two steps. When the parents brought the little boy to Jesus to cure his convulsions, Jesus said that all things are possible to those who believe. In Mark 9:24, it says, immediately the father of the child cried out, I believe, help my unbelief. Fourth is trust. Here we begin to make the all-important step from the intellectual acceptance of spiritual ideas and help to the actual inner realization. Matthew 16:15-16. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are Messiah, the Son of the living God. At this point, Peter is beginning to trust his intuition, his inner knowing, and so he is the only one who really recognizes who Jesus is. Number five is act as if. Now we actualize this faith process as we actually step out on faith and start to experience the good results. This stuff works. Matthew 14:29, he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. Peter was willing to risk to increase his faith, and he made a lot of human errors along the way, but he was the only one who stepped out of that boat and walked on the water. Number six is conviction. Conviction comes from two Latin words, vincere, meaning to conquer, and con, which means to intensify its meaning. Here we conquer self-doubts, fears, seeing only the outer appearance. We are convinced. Psalm 27:13 says, I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. After Jesus' resurrection, Peter stepped out with conviction. He was the one to take the lead after the Holy Spirit had touched them and talked to the crowd that had gathered. And then seven is realization. For each of the faculties, we will study and develop more spirituality. There is a step of realization that clicks over into the automatic mobilization of this power in a harmonious and highly creative mode. Then we just naturally focus from the God perspective, like an automatic focus camera. Peter had this realization and stepped out in faith to teach what Jesus had taught them. He was thrown into prison at one point, but through faith, he walked out of his cell and to freedom. So, why do we want to develop our faith faculty? Well, in light of the recent happenings in our country and our world, I would like to close with what Charles Fillmore wrote over a half a century ago. People everywhere on earth are now realizing, as never before, that the well-being of this world rests with its inhabitants. The dominion and authority of God, gave to his image and likeness man, has assumed such reality that even the most trivial person can understand it and tremble at the prospect of what might come to pass if that dominion were used by vicious men. The moral and spiritual standard of the race must be raised the world over as the one and only ultimate source of safety. This means that every person must begin on himself, and as it dawns, let the light shine by imparting it to others. This work is to be done right here on this planet.